All right, and it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast, and it's 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is January 9th, 2017, and this is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to start with wishing the beautiful, the mighty, the all-incredible Tea Benny happy birthday. She's turning sweet 16, and there is nothing sweeter than a beautiful girl which have a heart of an incredible lady and the walk of incredible soul. God bless her, and may she walk the miles after her ancestors, you know, in Rachel, Leah, and Sarah, and Rebecca. God bless her. That's my daughter, of course. Now, let's start with the day. We have a lot of conditions in the world, and we want to overlook every one of them. But in generic plan, we have terrorism, we have a controversial about economical change, and we have a lot of ideas of how to go about. Let's start with one segment that I want you to listen.
We live in a world where terrorism can strike at any given moment. So I spent my entire life in trying to make the world a safer place. I know what it's like to live in terror, and I don't wish that on anyone. If the Protect Company can expand beyond the Israeli borders into a business that is truly global, we will be able to minimize as many casualties and death worldwide. My name is Itai Gil, and this show is about my mission to protect the world.
All right. Now, Itai Gil might be calling in. I spoke to him today, and he was talking about the ideas about to survive. Because many people have a question, how are we going to prevent any gun or active shooting from happening? And it's really not easy to predict. It's not easy to protect. It's easy to practice. Because practice makes you good. Because in time of strain, in time of necessity, your practice will come. And this is a lesson that I learned in flying lessons. I did take some flying, yes. So in flying lesson, they teach you that when you practice some things over and over again, and if it happens in incredibly, mistake or incredible accident, you will practice or you will do whatever you practice. So you have to be ready. And being ready means to have the basic ideas to what's happening. Because those active shooting that happened in Florida, and it was devastating, it happens in elsewhere in a lot of club where people get killed and nothing happened until, you know, the police arrive. And people cannot wait until the police arrive because the police don't walk with them. You need to be protected. And being protected means that you will have the basic analysis of what you should do, or basic practice. And we talked about it before, and we talked with Ty Gill on the show. We meet quite sometimes, you know, to talk about it. And he said to me, Orly, we need to have a plan. The plan is to teach every student like the fire drill. You have a fire drill that you teach in school, the kids. You take them out for a few hours. You make them some fun kind of, you know, games. But you practice with them the rules of engagement with whatever story comes around. Now, this is active shooting. It's a rule of engagement with this item, with this happening. Can we teach those children from 12 more? His classes will take from 12 more. But let's assume that something happens in a crowd neighborhood, if a club, club or in the supermarket or any place. If you don't know what to do, you're highly you're in high danger. So let's hope that the government, the world government, we don't have, right? So let's talk about the American, that there we have an organized system that can actually provide some kind of support. Let's get them, get the training. It takes 3 hours about to teach a student. Every student can get a drill once a year. Nothing happened. You go from school to school, and teach them. And then at the end of the day, you get people working because you can use veterans. You got more people, engaging with the community. You get more people on alert, and you get more defense. And then you can protect yourself. The difference is life-saving, and every life is important. So, the risk is higher when you are ignorant to the fact. Let's teach them. We have a plan. Itai Gil will be with us, if not today, will be in the next show or sometimes, but he's available. The information is available with me. We can provide this. Israel has been through a lot. We are the people of the book. We are the Jewish people supposed always to bring light upon nation. Sometimes it doesn't seem so well, like, we'll talk about the diplomatic accident in UK soon, but sometimes we're not doing. But let's give back what we appreciate the world gave us, coming back to our beloved land after so many years. Let's give back. And what we're going to do, we're going to start by sharing some of the knowledge that we experience on the good side. How do you predict and how you can assess the situation and maybe to save a life? Let's do that. Okay, so let's get some music and we'll be back after that.
Remember those walls I built? Well, baby, they're tumbling down. And they didn't even put up a fight. They didn't even make the sound. I found a way to let you in.
All right, that was Beyonce. She's wonderful. We are going to talk about now what happened in the diplomatic accident in United Kingdom. We have a recording of that diplomat when he spoke nonsense, and he talks. Let's listen to it.
Israel has apologized to the UK after one of its embassy staff in London was secretly filmed, apparently suggesting he wanted to bring about the downfall of a British government minister who's been very critical of Israeli policy. The official was speaking in a London restaurant to a British civil servant who's now said to have resigned. Al Jazeera says its investigation exposes a covert Israeli campaign to influence British policy. The Israeli official is heard saying he wanted to take down British Foreign Office Minister Sir Alan Duncan. The civil servant replies that a little scandal might see him dismissed. In 2014, Sir Alan strongly attacked Israel, describing settlements as an act of theft and an ever-deepening stain on the face of the globe. He also likened the situation in Hebron in the West Bank to apartheid. The official also describes the UK Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson as an idiot in the secret recording. Some have suggested that all his comments were tongue-in-cheek, more comic than chilling. But Britain's Labour opposition has demanded an inquiry into the extent of alleged Israeli interference in British politics.
All right, so there you have it. We have a diplomat who speak about putting down any public officer is completely out of line. It's wrong and not diplomatic. And of course, this guy will come back to Israel as soon as we can, I guess. Now, we condemn it. We don't like this guy. We don't like his attitude. We don't like the way he talks. And even the idea to take anybody down is wrong. But now the ride that Al Jazeera is trying to ride. Al Jazeera is doing the almighty anti-Semitism routine. Let's talk. They are talking about how the convert, the Israeli convert, this is a diplomat, official diplomat, okay, is known. It's nothing covert about him being there. And convert way to influence. Now, what you guys are doing there, the Palestinian there, for a few years already, trying to make the United Kingdom cancel the Balfour Declaration, the one that gave Israel, the Jewish people, back their homelands after 2,000 years. You know, the mighty hands of God was with the king then, because he was so worthy and so incredibly honorable to do such a graceful thing act. Now, to give the declaration of Balfour, cancel, a null and void, that's their plot. And I know that the English government, their position in Israel, the embassy told me that they're not going to ever go back on this, because this is like a 100-year celebration this year, and the Palestinian quest to cancel it is not going to be happening. So Al Jazeera, back off on this. There is no such a plot, because the English people have a complete interrogate part of Israel existence. Okay, so they had the mandate to make it happen. No, of course we're not happy with what happened there, and the fact that all the territory that was supposed to be given to the Jewish people were cut in half. More and was given to Jordan, then Transjordanian. We all forget, because now this guy that I don't know who is that member, Duncan, is a very respectable person. I know, and I know his name because people mention him so much. And when you get so mentioned so much, it means that you are a man of wisdom. But to say that the settlement are act of theft, I have to say something. And I'm going to talk about this new world order that everybody's talking about. That will be my connection today to the show, because I needed to talk about it in that some form. When you say that Zionism, like all those anti-Semites right now, you know, converted, try to talk against Zionism. They're not talking about against Jewish people. They're talking against Zionism. Zionism is the equivalent of anti-Semitism, but in a covert, because Zion, for anybody knows, from Boney M music, you can know, Zion is Jerusalem. It means the return of the Jewish people, the people of the book, biblical connection to the land, the Holy Land, Israel. All right? This is the name. Now, Zionism is Jerusalem. When you condemn Zionism, it means that you don't want to know the existence of Jerusalem as a holy city. Because if you recognize Jerusalem as the holy city, you have to understand why she's holy. Because she holds two temples, the first and the second temple. Now, we have a shrine there, you know, a respectable shrine. We have the incredible church there. Everybody needs to understand that this is a monotheistic center of the universe for religion. It's the only place in the universe, the only place, Jerusalem, in the universe that you have three combined religion, monotheistic, that supposedly have to be one by one respecting God under one sky in the same, you know, same range of diameters. It's not a different country. It's the same country, same city. Now, this is a challenge, because until people don't accept the fact that Judaism exists, and I'm talking the basic, when you try to take the people of the book, Jewish people, out of Jerusalem, you're denying the Bible. The Bible is the oldest book in the universe that give us the commands of how humanity needs to work. It's the Bible. We have the Old Testament, and we have the Old Testament. You guys have something, an addition, and it's respectfully, your New Testament is respected, same. But for our belief, it's the basic of all religion, God. For, you know, without even thinking about the division, We have to unite under one God. That's the ultimate challenge we all have to face at the end of, you know, the day. If we accept each other, when they talk about Settlement Act is a theft, and Hebron, anybody who studied the story of Abram, when Sarah, his wife, the patriarch and the matriarch of all humanity, because Abraham was a patriarch of also the Muslim. When the patriarch bought Hebron to bury his beloved wife Sarah in Hebron. Now, this is a biblical connection to the Jewish land. What kind of apartheid you're talking about? The fact that we don't let them run ragged with the guns? Oh, so sorry, you guys must know something about terrorism more than us, because we've been living it through since the existence of time. Okay, so let's go back. Settlement Act. What does it mean, act? When you, in the British government, in the British Parliament, you know exactly what the British mandate was. You actually are allowed to go into the public record or not so public to see that recording, the Balfour Declaration. It's United Kingdom, 1917, where you, the British, gave Israel, demanded the Jewish people, let's say, the Jewish people demanded to go back home, to have a home. Why you call it home? It's because it's our home. We going back to our traditional land. When you call it settlement, sir, I don't know what this diplomat said, and he bad mouth, and God help him, because I'm not forgiving about talking like this to anybody, because there is a God, and it's definitely not him. When you talk about settlement, it means that you go and you take a place that doesn't belong to you. Is that your interpretation? There is no Settlement Act in Israel. This is, we're coming back home. That's who we are, the Jewish people, the people of the book, the Zionist people who came back to Jerusalem to make her holy again. All right? So let's start by remembering who we are, going back, and trying to get along. All right? This is it. And United Kingdom, we love you. We do love you. And you all know that. All right? Let's get some music and we'll be back after that. Wonderful song. Remember that when they dance in the White House to that song? I was enchanted because that was such a great song to celebrate. The coming of historical moment in America, when America has a black president. And you know, many challenges. Come on, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for him, because all the prototype, everything was going against, and the challenge. Thank God we are finishing this and all well, even though the world is going crazy, but what's new, okay? And we have, the celebration for the First Lady and the president to go back to their life and keep on going, you know, because they probably will be going and doing better. And we have a beautiful speech of Mrs. Michelle Obama. Let's listen to it.
So for all the young people in this room and those who are watching, know that this country belongs to you, to all of you, from every background and walk of life. If you or your parents are immigrants, know that you are part of a proud American tradition, the infusion of new cultures, talents, and ideas, generation after generation, that has made us the greatest country on earth. If your family doesn't have much money, I want you to remember that in this country, plenty of folks, including me and my husband, we started out with very little, but with a lot of hard work and a good education, anything is possible, even becoming president. That's what the American dream is all about. If you are a person of faith, know that religious diversity is a great American tradition too. In fact, that's why people first came to this country, to worship freely. And whether you are Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Hindu, Sikh, these religions are teaching our young people about justice and compassion and honesty. So I want our young people to continue to learn and practice those values with pride. You see, our glorious diversity, our diversity of faiths and colors and creeds, that is not a threat to who we are. It makes us who we are. And the young people out there, do not ever let anyone make you feel like you don't matter or like you don't have a place in our American story, because you do. And you have a right to be exactly who you are. But I also want to be very clear. This right isn't just handed to you. No, this right has to be earned every single day. You cannot take your freedoms for granted. Now, just like generations who've come before you, you have to do your part to preserve and protect those freedoms. And that starts right now, when you're young. Right now, you need to be preparing yourself to add your voice to our national conversation. You need to prepare yourself to be informed and engaged as a citizen, to serve and to lead, to stand up for our proud American values and to honor them in your daily lives. And that means getting the best education possible so you can think critically, so you can express yourself clearly, so you can get a good job and support yourself and your family, so you can be a positive force in your communities. And when you encounter obstacles, because I guarantee you, you will, and many of you already have, when you are struggling and you start thinking about giving up, I want you to remember something that my husband and I have talked about since we first started this journey nearly a decade ago. Something that has carried us through every moment in this White House and every moment of our lives. And that is the power of hope. The belief that something better is always possible if you're willing to work for it and fight for it. It is our fundamental belief in the power of hope that has allowed us to rise above the voices of doubt and division, of anger and fear that we have faced in our own lives and in the life of this country. Our hope that if we work hard enough and believe in ourselves, then we can be whatever we dream, regardless of the limitations that others may place on us. The hope that when people see us for who we truly are, maybe, just maybe, they too will be inspired to rise to their best possible selves. That is the hope of students like Kyla, who fight to discover their gifts and share them with the world. It's the hope of school counselors like Terry and all these folks up here who guide those students every step of the way, refusing to give up on even a single young person. Shoot, it's the hope of my folks like my dad, who got up every day, do his job at the city water plant, the hope that one day his kids would go to college and have opportunities he never dreamed of. That's the kind of hope that every single one of us, politicians, parents, preachers, all of us, need to be providing for our young people. Because that is what moves this country forward every single day. Our hope for the future and the hard work that hope inspires. So, that's my final message to young people as First Lady. It is simple. They matter, that they belong. So don't be afraid. You hear me? Young people, don't be afraid. Be focused. Be determined. Be hopeful. Be empowered. Empower yourselves with a good education. Then get out there and use that education to build a country worthy of your boundless promise. Lead by example with hope, never fear. And know that I will be with you, rooting for you and working to support you for the rest of my life. And that is true, I know, for every person who is here today, and for educators and advocates all across this nation who get up every day and work their hearts out to lift up our young people. And I am so grateful to all of you for your passion and your dedication and all the hard work on behalf of our next generation, and I can think of no better way to end my time as First Lady than celebrating with all of you. So I want to close today by simply saying thank you. Thank you for everything you do for our kids and for our country. Being your First Lady has been the greatest honor of my life, and I hope I've made you proud. Thank you.
All right, that was the First Lady Michelle Obama, which was with a great speech, which was inspiring. And I know that she inspired a lot of people. She was exemplary as a mother, as a teacher for the young people to eat well. And, for example, as a First Lady to be involved and very, very gracious. And I know that she influenced and inspired a lot of people, especially in the United Kingdom. I saw so many sessions, her and Prince Harry, which, you know, is a heartfelt story, touch every one of us. And she was there for him, and we bless her for that. So I wish her all the best, and she is a great example for women in the world. And of course, what a great story. God bless her. That's fantastic. All right. So let's keep on going and understanding that we have a lot to do and short time. So 2017 already started, and I hope that you started good. But, you know, your New Year resolution needs to keep on adding up, not deducting, adding up. Because it seems to me that this is the time of balancing back life, you know, your life back to society. Because since we took our cell phone into our life, it become like a cell to most people. People are in cell, you know, cell phone cell. Yeah, they are all the time there. And it's back. It's time to go back to the community. It's back time to go back to work. it's time to reopen all those lines that were closed by too much activity, you know, virtual activity and non actual one. More of that on the business part. Now that we're engaging with a new president, we need to understand that the rhythm is going to change, because this president is all action and all businesses. And you need to be active, because businesses is something that fly by, but it flies. If you are not there at the door, if you're not catching it in the right time, if you're not ready to move, or if you're too slow, even if you're too slow, even you're ready and you're not try, you have to be alert. So please, for all those people who thought that, you know, being lay low, lay loose, get, you know, life as it comes, it's not the time, because we lost actually the balance in the world because of that. Let's go back, tighten everything, work on every point of reference, work hard, prepare yourself, let's get ready, let's tighten up. Let's work our heart out to make sure that this year will be beautiful and, you know, fruitful, and we can accomplish and bring back a building reality to the universe and not destructive like we do. And Hollywood, by all means, get off that horse of liberal freakos that you want to destroy the world. You show us your heart. And maybe we need some new soul there. I'm serious. Because the movie that we spoke about so many times, they are, you know, obnoxious with violence. You taught us violence. We want to teach knowledge. Schooling. That was such a wisdom thing, you know, great thing. Education, education, education. There is nothing more important in one's life than to learn how to be better. Because if we are born to stay the same, what the heck, you know? It's like you're growing up, and your brain, what do you think? You don't need to grow up too? So you need to fill it up with some a lot of things. But I would like to fill them up with the United Nations also. Have to fill up some sense into their action. Because I'm looking into script of there is a new resolution coming up, and I'm changing the conversation because we need to keep on going. The new resolution that is going to be voted, and it's against, you know, it's against the UN Security Council resolution that was made in December 23rd. That resolution, number 2334, was overwhelming by 342-80 vote. Now think about it. That was about the anti-UN resolution that came about in the House of Congress. Think about, I know if I'm not making sense, I'll do it in a second. Okay, we have a 2334 resolution that was in the United Nations. But if you read it, you see that they included all the other resolutions that previously they put. But all of those were already vetoed by United States. So how can you include vetoed resolution, vetoed? All right. Think about that. It's like when you come to somebody with a bill, and all the other that include all the other bills that you already billed them, but all the other bills were void and nulls because somebody else vetoed them and said, it's not good, it's not good, it's not good. Now you're coming back, at the end of the day, you're restructuring back and said, all those invoices, all the bills that you put them, that somebody else vetoed, you know, America vetoed it, we put them again. But this time America doesn't veto it. What do you think? What the value of that veto? Oh, what the value of that cell? So we call it in lobbyist wording, it's unlegislative law or unlegislative bill. You cannot legislate something that was vetoed. It means that you cannot put in or to order something that veto. Nobody talked about it, but I did look it up. And I know that America, United States, did veto it. So it's like, it's a pack of fly, okay? It's like a pack of fly. If somebody gives you a bill that already was null, avoided, or paid for, or did not subscribe, it means that it's cheating, right? So United Nations, you go back to your board and restructure that bill, whoever that bill that you want, and think about a better way to try to cheat the world, you know, and for your existence, because the United Nations existence up to now didn't prove that it helps any humanity, didn't help prevent war, it didn't come to salvation of anybody still, and it still create an enormity of friction between countries. And I think that it's encompassing all the anti-peaceful coexistence, because every time you try to, you go to war in words, people go in action. And that's where the point where I tell you that the words of Secretary Kerry might be a ground standing case and a valid case against him of incitement to violence. Because yesterday we had a violence and attack, a terrorist attack in Jerusalem after this weekend announcement of John Kerry that some people might get hurt if we move if Donald Trump, you understand, this is American president, will move the embassy to Jerusalem, the Jewish people will suffer. Do you understand what kind of reasoning Secretary Kerry said? Did I jump too fast for you? Doesn't matter. You follow up and you'll see how much sense it is. When you threaten the Jewish people of violence and the next day the Palestinians take guns or take arm, it means that you incite them. You are actually liable of inciting for terror, Mr. Kerry. Now, Jewish people may be too kind to you, because most of them are Democrats in America. But just remember, there is a court of justice, international court of justice, and you actually was out of line, sir. All right? I wouldn't go and lobby this against you, sir, because I met you and I like you so much. But I'm serious. If you keep on inciting for violence, there will be a case held against you in some court. And you know what? God is witness. He can see us all. Okay? So please, let's keep it slow. All right, guys, let's get some music and we'll be back after that. All right, we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Guys, it's Monday, January 9th, 2017, and this is the birthday of Thea, and she's wonderful, and Sugar was completely, exactly a song for her. Anyway, let's go on. We have a situation with everybody standing up. What's the situation will be with Russia? Russia is a player since 2013, since she helped the United States come to agreement with the Syrian government to disarm them from their chemical weapon. And they did partly a good job in that. Not everything was dismantled, but she moved. They pretty, set their standard higher than usual. And now we are talking about resetting button or resetting the deal with Russia. Of course, this is Donald Trump. He's going to reset everybody. for good or for bad. You know, China needs to watch it. There is also in other countries that are negotiating. And Russia is in the play too, because it's the balance of power in the world. It's all reorganized now, and you need to talk to everybody. And people think that Russians are difficult, and they tried and it didn't. You see, Russians are not the same like Americans. And here in Israel, we have, you know why they all fight all the time between like this little, you know, talking back forth, you know, media harassing the prime minister. Let's not talk about this, because this become also, you know, the media harassment of the prime minister because of a box of cigars, for God's sakes. But you know why? Because there are all kinds. And in Israel, there are a million Russians. And something you have to understand about the Russian, they are European. They are not American, they are European. When you go to Paris, do you speak French? Or if not, they don't speak to you, right? That's how Russian, it's not about talking Russian. You have to speak their language. You have to be respectful. They don't like our American way of pushing around. And I know what's pushing around is. We've been through this. It means you don't tell us what to do. We are equal, okay? And if you come to the largest territory in the world, and the Russian, the country is humongous, and it's powerful, and it's really powerful. Come on, guys, you know that. And if you come with respect to talk, and we have to respect everybody, so let's forget about how big you are. You need to really respect everybody to start a new setup, a new organization, and new ideas, a new deal. Okay? And if you come, they'll listen. And I promise you, they won't accept everything they say you say, but you'll understand what they are saying. Right now, every time that you tell them what to do, they go and, oh, okay, forget it. And that's where we forget you give. And if Hillary Clinton tried to boss them around, you can be sure she did a bad job. But with Donald Trump, I don't think he's going to do a bad job, because he liked that style. You understand? It's different. That's why the media get on his nerve, because they don't respect the old fashioned. Now, it's not the good old boys kind of routine in the derogatory. It's the good old boys in the gentleman way. We're going to shift from all casual looking, you know, good, you can go and do whatever you want, to a very gentlemanly, kind of discreet, kind of respectful way of being, so we can set everything. Because you can't be all out and reorganize, because somebody's not going to do a job, good job. So you all have to back up, let's talk, let's reflect, and maybe we can start igniting this world in a good way. And I see so many prospective of business. Trust me, on my desk, I get accumulated every day tons of offers to buy. Not for me. It's like I need to sell it for them if they care. Sell fashion, clothes, machines, cars, tons of stuff. And why? Because somebody has to move it. For some reason, people not moving. Everything is chunked. And this incredible European Union that was supposed to be a mechanism to move stuff didn't actually did the opposite. So let's hope and let's pray that we can all come together and get respectfully, you know, an agreement to keep on going in a way that we can accept each other and understand each other. And I'm going to pray for all those Democrats that they're lost, gave them a reason to fight. We don't need any more fight. We need to calm down. And if they're going to keep on doing that, they're going to end up out of the game. Because, you know, the show must go on. So I'm going to end up with this prayer, and I'm going to remind you all that there is a God, and it's not us. And we need to keep on moving, being our best, improving ourselves, trying every day to do good, and making sure we're not going to sleep without asking to be better the next day. All right? It's all out today. Let's hope that this week will bring us blessing and a lot of comfort and a lot of greeting and blessing to all those souls that got hurt in the recent attack everywhere. God bless you all, and may we bring peace to this world once and for all. Amen. Ciao, ciao.